Vanchakapa Dhruvyasra Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 15, The Pandavas Retire Timely, Text Number 37. Yudhishthiras tat parisarpanam buddha Puresha rastre chagrihe tadatmani Vibhavya lobhanrita jimahin sadai hinsanadi Adharma chakram gamanaya paryada
Adharma chakram gamanaya paryada
Yudhishthira
Yudhishthira
Maharaj Yudhishthira
Yudhishthira Maharaj Yudhishthira
Tat.
That.
So if you're going to learn any word in Sanskrit, you should word tat. You should learn the word tat. Why?
Tat is connected.
It's easy. You just add an H to the after the T, and then you have dot. That. It's hard to forget it. But if you try hard enough, you might be able to do it. Pari sarpanam.
Pari sarpanam.
Expansion.
Expansion.
Buddha.
Buddha.
Thoroughly experienced.
Thoroughly experienced.
Pure.
In the capital.
Cha.
As also.
Rashtre.
Rashtre.
In the state.
In the state.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Grihe, at home. Tatha, as also. Atmani, in person. Vibhavya, observing. Lobha, avarice. Anrita, untruth. Jima,
diplomacy.
Hinsana, Adi, violence,
Envy,
Adharma,
irreligion,
Chakram, a vicious circle,
Gamanaya,
or departure, Paryadat,
dressed
himself accordingly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira was intelligent enough to understand the influence of the age of Kali, characterized by increasing avarice, falsehood, cheating, and violence throughout the capital, state, home, and among individuals. So he wisely prepared himself to leave home, and he dressed accordingly. Please repeat. Maharaj Yudhisthira was intelligent enough to understand the influence of the age of Kali, characterized by increasing avarice, falsehood, cheating, and violence throughout the capital, state, home, and among individuals. So he wisely prepared himself to leave home. and he dressed accordingly. Purport. The present age is influenced by the specific qualities of Kali. Since the days of the Battle of Kurukshetra, about 5,000 years ago, the influence of Kali began manifesting. And from the authentic scriptures, it is learned that the age of Kali is still to run on for 420,000 years. The symptoms of Kali Yuga, as mentioned above, namely avarice, falsehood, diplomacy, cheating, nepotism, violence, and all such things, already invoked. And no one can imagine what is going to happen gradually with the further increase of the influence of Kali till the day of annihilation. We have already come to know that the influence of the age of Kali is meant for godless, so-called civilized man. Those who are under the protection of the Lord have nothing to fear. From this horrible age, Maharaj Yudhisthira was a great devotee of the Lord, and there was no necessity of his being afraid of the aid of Kali. But he preferred to retire from active household life and prepare himself to go back home, back to Godhead. The Pandavas are eternal companions of the Lord, and therefore they are more interested in the company of the Lord than anything else. Besides that, being an ideal king, Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to retire just to set an example for others. As soon as there is some young fellow to look after the household affairs, one should at once retire from family life to uplift oneself to spiritual realization. One should not rot in the dark well of household life till one is dragged out by the will of Yamaraj. Modern politicians should take lessons from Maharaj Yudhisthira about voluntary retirement from active life to make room for the younger generation. Also, retired old gentlemen should take lessons from him and leave home for spiritual realization before forcibly dragged away to meet death. So the verse again. Yudhishthira stat parisarpanam buddha parecha rastre chagrihe tadatmani Ibhavya lo panrita dhimahim simsanadi adharma chakrangamanaya paridad. Maharaj Yudhisthira was intelligent enough to understand the influence of the age of Kali, characterized by increasing avarice, falsehood, cheating, and violence throughout the capital, state, home, and among individuals. So he wisely prepared himself to leave home, and he dressed accordingly. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pashyatyade Siddharana. In one sense, Srimad Bhagavatam is not very encouraging. If one is trying to enjoy the material world and hope for a good future, it's not very, well, at least from the material point of view, it's not very encouraging. It doesn't give a very good forecast. If you turn on to the weather and they say tomorrow there is going to be, after the earthquake, there's going to be a hurricane and it's going to pour down 3 meters of water, and your friend asks you, what was the forecast? And you go, well, it wasn't so bad. Could be worse. What's that? Bhagavatam is giving some forecasts, and the forecast is not very much different from what we read in the newspapers. If we read in the newspaper, we certainly won't learn about the fact that we're a spiritual soul. There's nothing about Krishna being God. There's nothing about the law of karma. There's nothing about reincarnation. There's nothing about anything else but avarice, greed, violence, etc. There's plenty of that. So the Bhagavatam can't be 100% wrong. Some people say the Bhagavatam was written 5,000 years ago, some 3,000 years ago, whatever. But still, the prediction about the age that we're living in is certainly coming to pass. On the other hand, it is not that one has to live in the mentality of Kali Yuga, because actually where we're living is not so much physically where our body is, it's more where our consciousness is. We can create Kali Yuga as the consciousness of the lower modes of nature, namely ignorance and passion, but no one's obliged to be in ignorance and passion. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Anadiva Niragunadva Paramatmayam Avya Sharira Stopi Kondiya Nakaroti Nana Lipyate. That those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he actually entangled. Everyone is actually transcendental. Nothing that's happening right now is ultimately affecting anyone. Ultimately affecting anyone means not that we're not experiencing happiness and distress in the material world, but the person who's experiencing happiness and distress, it doesn't matter how much happiness we experience or how much distress we experience through this body, still nothing's really affecting ourselves, our identity, our spiritual body. Is our experience that's being affected, not ourselves personally. Just like, for instance, we may go to a movie, and there are many varieties of movie. We can choose to see Frankenstein meets Dracula. And certainly if we go there, it's expected that there's going to be a certain mellow, a certain rasa we're going to experience. Otherwise, why would people pay money? They're expected to become in what's called ghastly rasa. Or see a little bit of anger rasa there and dread. So there is ghastly, there is dread, there is anger. We don't expect to see a romance. Dracula falls in love with Frankenstein. Of course, that's possible. Probably won't be a very lasting relationship. Dracula kisses Frankenstein on the neck and the relationship is over. In any case, it's a certain rasa, and when we go there, we may feel dread, we may feel ghastliness, we may feel anger, we may feel whatever mellow is we're concentrating our attention on. Similarly, we may go see something like Romeo and Juliet, whatever the modern version is, and therefore we may experience, you know, conjugal rasa, or hasya rasa, laughing rasa, whatever. So we expect a different mellow. Similarly, according to our activities in the material world, we're going to experience a certain mellow. If you go to the bar and have a few drinks with your mates, there's going to be a certain rasa. If you come to the temple, hopefully you'll experience a different rasa. As long as the mind is not back there with the mates. Because it's not just the physical body. The physical body prepares ourselves to put our mind in a certain place. But if we really want to be, we can be in the pub right now with our friends. Or we could be remembering Frankenstein meets Dracula. If we're really... Of course, that thought may come through our mind. We don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to involve ourselves in it. But someone may think, wow, I forgot about that one. Let me remember it. It was such a relishable experience. I remember I turned white and I started to cry and I started to shake. Wow, that was really far out. So one may actually be attracted to that type of mellow, that type of rasa. And when the memory comes to our mind, we may absorb ourselves. Of course, if we're living in a society of devotees, someone asks, Prabhu, you look like you're spacing out. What's going on? Hopefully someone says that. Oh, I'm just remembering some transcendental pastime with Krishna. So no one can really, unless, I mean, Krishna is a super soul within our heart. He's not going to pop out of our heart and say, "You rascal, he's lying, don't listen to him." No, that's a personal thing between ourselves and Krishna, where we're putting our consciousness. Even Krishna doesn't force us to put our consciousness in the right place, although the devotees are certainly there to encourage us. But in the age of Kali, people are actually believing, because they're taught like that from birth, that you are the body. This is actually happening to you when the violence is going on, when the avarice and the greed and everything else that's going on in Kali Yuga is happening. That's all there is. That's all your choices. You're going to have to suffer, and that's it. And after you suffer and die, you disappear, and it was all for nothing. So therefore, people are completely absorbed in fear and anxiety, because the whole thing is frustrating. I'm going to suffer like anything. I'm going to be tortured and whatever else happens. And the only thing I get out of it is I disappear. Great reward. That's the end of the story. There is no story at the end. We don't live happily ever after because we don't live ever after. What to speak of happily? You live unhappily for a short period of time, and ever after, nothing happens. So it's a very discouraging understanding of reality. It's a very discouraging understanding of life that's being projected in Kali Yuga. But here, there's an opportunity to absorb our mind in a different conception, at least, to break out of the constraints of Kali Yuga, to actually enter into a realm where we can experience something called eternity. Of course, at the beginning, we're just hearing that we're not the body. But that should be sufficient to awaken some intelligence, so that in spite of the fact that I misidentify myself in my body and mind, I know, more or less theoretically, that I'm crazy. Crazy in the sense that, in spite of the fact that I have enough intelligence to see my body is changing, but myself within the body, I'm the same person experiencing all these different varieties of experiences that my body and mind are presenting to me, but me, the experiencer, are always the same. Hope that a human being hopefully has that much intelligence. So that itself, as Prabhupada said, if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match up. So in spite of all the other difficulties we have to go through, because it is not that if we understand we're not this body, then suddenly the body disappears. Or we get three arms instead of two. Nothing really changes, just our perspective on things change. So at the time of death, we won't think, "I'm dying." We'll remember the body's dying. We won't think, "How is it possible I'm a devotee and my body is dying?" No, it never said anywhere, Krishna never wrote on the contract, when we join the Hare Krishna movement, if you join the Hare Krishna movement, your body won't die. Because you're a devotee. Devotees' bodies don't grow old, they don't become diseased, and they don't die, and they never have to take birth again. Krishna doesn't have that on the contract. What's on the contract is if we become Krishna conscious, we won't think we're dying when the body is dying. We won't think when Count Dracula is kissing his girlfriend's neck that we're doing it. We won't think, "I wonder what that tastes like." No, we won't identify ourselves with the picture. We won't think ourselves to be the hero or the villain. We won't think ourselves to become whoever it is. Godzilla? Is that Godzilla? King Kong. We'll think ourselves as a little soul within a body, and the body's going through so many different experiences, and I'm experiencing it as much as I identify myself with it. And due to the strong false ego, I can't just walk out of my identification. I just can't completely detach myself from it There's a process, if I follow it, then gradually the misidentification with the body will be cleared up. We're not in charge of the material energy. We can't just erase our false ego, like you erase something from a blackboard. We have to go through the process, and then Krishna will reveal himself, and he'll erase our false ego when he sees that we're qualified. In any case, the aid of Kali is trying to get everyone. Kali's business is to make everyone afraid. And Kali is doing a great job. Kali is actually a servant of Krishna because everyone came to the material world somehow or another to enjoy. And in the other ages of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarka Yuga, people don't enjoy so much because they're afraid. They're afraid what will happen because they have some knowledge. Therefore, they're restrained. But in the back of their minds, they're saying, I wish I was God. I wish I was God, although I know I'm not. It's unfortunate there is a supreme God, but what to do? I guess I have to follow him or else I'll get into trouble. So they're just waiting for Kali Yuga, those who don't go back to Godhead. They're just waiting for the opportunity. And now it's Kali Yuga, let's go for it. Everyone for himself. But the result is that it produces even more fear. This so-called freedom is not real freedom because it's not freedom from fear. It may be freedom to gratify our senses unlimitedly, but it's not freedom from the reactions and the fear that come from it. Therefore, gradually in Kali Yuga, those who have half a brain, which is made of some, a little bit of brain left, substance left, they'll eventually join the Hare Krishna movement. Because they'll see, in spite of all the opportunities for enjoyment, they can't get out of that fear of old age, disease, and death. It's always haunting them. As much as Maya is haunting us, talking to us 24 hours a day, putting us and going, boo, Maya, stop, I'll do anything. Boo, yes. Oh, yes, tell me what to do. I'm here to serve you. If you don't serve me, I'm going to haunt you. I won't let you go. I don't want to think about that. No, you're going to think about it. No, don't let me think so. Maya is always with us, and when she sees we're afraid, when she sees we're attached, when she sees we're subjected, then she simply carries on. And she goes, boo! And we go, so what? And Maya will say, wait a second, you're supposed to be afraid of me. Okay, I'm taking shelter of Krishna. Talk to my boss. Oh, congratulations, you got the right thing. Just like when Dhruva Maharaj was leaving his body, then death personified came. And when the airplane came to take him back to Vaikuntha, then death personified bowed down before Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj stepped on death and boarded the Vaikuntha airplane. So I don't know if death appeared before us, then we'd be so enthusiastic. Just like one man sent his servant to the village to buy something, and on the way to the village, this servant saw death personified. So he became completely anxiety because death personified was smiling at him and laughing. So he ran back to his master and said, Master, Master, death personified saw me at this village and he was smiling at me, so I ran back here. He was even laughing at me. So the master said, no worry, I'll find out what he wanted. In the meantime, you go to this other village and you buy what I need in the other village and I'll go and speak to death personified. So the master went to this village, found death personified in the market and said, death personified, why are you frightening my servant? So death personified said, well, I wasn't trying to frighten him. I was just very surprised to see him at this market. Actually, I had an appointment to meet him at that other market. Therefore, the state of fear coming from death can only be overcome if we actually take shelter of Krishna and Kali Yuga. That is the shelter, the holy names. If we chant Hare Krishna without offense, that's how to erase our false identification with this body. So that even at the time of death, even at the time of disease, even at the time of old age, we won't think I'm diseased, we won't think I'm old, we don't think I'm dying, we don't think I'm going somewhere, or that I'm going to have to become another body. No, we'll realize who we really are, that we're always Krishna Das. Therefore, Krishna says, Nimitra Matram Bhavasavasachi, become an instrument. So to become an instrument for Krishna with this body doesn't mean we have to do anything else other than what we can already do. There's no need to change from, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Stane Sita Shuti Gitam Dhanuvang Manobir. We don't have to change anything. Simply we have to hear about Krishna and understand things properly, and then we can utilize our body, our mind, and words according to how Krishna wants us with this body. Of course, it is not that we hear about Krishna and then we do whatever we want. Prabhupada was chanting one time his japa, and he got up to the 16th round and he put the japa bead down, the counter bead down, and then he took the bead bag and threw it on the table. And Harisari Prabhu was there and said, now I've chanted my 16 rounds and I can do any damn thing I want. No, not that. But it is not that we have to become something other than what we are. We have to remain who we are, but utilize that particular body, our particular mentality, our particular intelligence. Utilize that for Krishna, and then Krishna becomes conquered. Shruti Gautama, if we follow the instructions coming down from Krishna, from his representatives, and we apply them within our life with our body, mind, and words, then Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes conquered by the devotee. And he reveals himself to the devotee. And then no more fear, no more anxiety. Our original relationship with Krishna is revived. And we can actually begin real life again, which is unlimited bliss, unlimited loving feelings towards Krishna and towards everyone. But to do that, we have Yudhisthira Maharaj. He just didn't, think I'm a pure devotee. I'm always Krishna's associate. Whatever I do is fantastic. It's going to be in the Bhagavatam. I'm all set. They'll make movies out of me eventually, so it's cool, whatever I do. No, he did what was appropriate according to his position. Just to set an example, and Prabhupada here gives the example that if one is a householder, a head of a kingdom, whatever it is, then one at the appropriate time, he should retire when there's actually someone to take responsibility for the family. In the modern society, people don't retire. Well, sometimes because they never made any provisions to take care of their family. Their savings are, they don't have any savings. All they have is debt. So when they leave the family, they leave them with nothing except for debt. So therefore they have to keep on working until the end of life. It is not only people's fault, but the whole economic system is made in such a way as to keep people as much as possible in debt and to encourage debt. To get a job, you have to go to school, and to go to school, you usually have to go into debt. And then after you go into debt, paying off your school, then in order to be normal in society, you have to buy so many things. And you don't know what's a necessity and what's not, because it all seems like it's necessary. That whole story of the Brahmin who had only a pair of kopins to belong, that's all his possessions were. And one day he was bathing in the Ganges and a mouse came when he washed his kopins, put them to dry, and the mouse came and stole his kopins, his underwear. So he was very embarrassed, but all he could do was beg another piece of cloth. But he was determined never to be embarrassed like that again, so he begged one cat to guard his underwear from the mouse. But the cat wanted some milk, so he had to get a cow, and so he begged one cow. But he didn't know how to milk a cow. He wasn't so technically, you know, talented. So he got a wife who knew all the intricacies of milking cows. But the wife wanted some children, and in order to have the children, he had to get a house. But in order to pay for the house, he actually had to get a job. But to pay for the car to get go to the job, he had to work at night. So now he had two jobs, a house, a car, a wife, a couple of children, a cow, and a cat to guard his underwear. So realizing life was getting more and more complicated, and he couldn't support his underwear anymore, he threw it away and just walked away. So modern society is specifically made to make things more and more complicated. And even when we know something's right, it's very difficult to do it sometimes. But we should try to understand what is the proper example to follow. And it's not advised that one gets married and waits until they're 90 years old before they decide, maybe I should retire sometime. And maybe I should provide for my family in the meantime. No one has a plan from the Veda culture as such. From the very beginning of life, everything was systematically ordered so that when a man reached a certain age, he already had a grown-up son. And the grown-up son was capable of maintaining the family. His mother, his children, everyone else. But it was all arranged. So that eventually either the man and the woman could go on pilgrimage and everyone was grown up and taken care of, or the man would eventually take sannyas and would go and preach. But it was not that the wife would be in anxiety, who's going to pay the bills, or, you know, what are we going to do? No, everything was taken care of, so everyone was peaceful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he retired in a very young age, but his mother and Vishnu Priya, they were transcendental. They were actually in ecstasy. Therefore, although apparently the arrangement was such that Mother Sati was left alone and Vishnu Priya was by herself, but actually she was always meditating on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She'd chant a round of japa and then she'd put one piece of rice by the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that she had. And she chant as many rounds of japa she chant, that many pieces of rice she'd put before the deity, and then she cooked that much rice and eat it, and that was her meal for the day. No one can imitate that. Unless you're overweight and look to lose a little weight. But she's Krishna's, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal consort. So she was actually on the spiritual platform. But one should actually utilize one's intelligence and try to figure out what's appropriate for our particular circumstances, ultimately so no one's in anxiety. So everyone is prepared for what we're doing. We prepare ourselves systematically and prepare others for going back to Godhead, for becoming Krishna conscious. And that's the example everyone should set. Although sometimes other examples are there, but as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that the aim of life is to become Krishna conscious, and nothing can interfere with that. But generally one should not expect absolute happiness in any circumstance, nor one can expect absolute distress. Material life, in any order of life, in any situation, is always going to be a combination of both of them. But Prabhupada was saying that in the midst of that, if one is a householder, that if one can sit down morning, evening, chant Hare Krishna with the family, and then, actually he says, family life is generally, it's not unnatural for there to be affection between the family members. That's completely natural. But the center should be Krishna. So the family should sit down morning and evening, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worship the deities, and that will make the family life as perfect as it can be, as perfect as anything can be in the material world. That there's no need to change from one status to the next. At least, one should fulfill one's obligations in family life. And then prepare, eventually, for vanaprastha and sannyas. That no one's, just as one has to prepare for retirement. Everyone's preparing for retirement. So one should prepare for real retirement. And then ultimately, to go back to the spiritual world, to be in spiritual consciousness. So Maharaj Yudhisthira did that. He changed his dress because he didn't have to change his consciousness. He was already perfectly Krishna conscious. And therefore he set the example for others. He didn't become a sannyasi, by the way, because kshatriyas don't become sannyasis. He retired with his other brothers and his wife, actually, the vanaprastha, and they went to the Himalayas with Draupadi. Although there were a few. They kept on walking. I guess they were on a marathon. And eventually they all went back. They were all Krishna servants. Apparently, going through the Mahabharata, they went to the heavenly planets or whatever. But actually they just went to... It's more complicated than that. They simply actually went to join Krishna in his next pastimes in another material world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
In our society, we see that vanaprastha is not so much encouraged.
You're not encouraging?
I didn't see so many devotees taking vanaprastha. Why this is so? Although the Shastra is pointing to that too.
Well, I don't. I'm not an expert on vanaprastha, nor have I done any survey on how many there are. But for vanaprastha, you need a stable household life. So first, we have to work on our stable household lives, and for that, you need good brahmachari training. You need ladies to be trained up properly. You need men to be trained up. Then it's better household life. And then when you have a strong household life, then the wife and the husband, they can see the purpose of life is to become Krishna conscious, and therefore they can retire. But I think after some time, you really have any mature devotee, and they may not go on pilgrimage, but probably didn't really necessarily think that vanaprastha has just had to travel around. He, matter of fact, he set up Vrindavan, the guest house there, with the idea that the vanaprastha would go there and simply hear and chant about Krishna. So when you're 80 years old or something, you're a devotee, there's no question of having more children. Essentially with the husband, of course, maybe they're still working, whatever, but there should be more time just to concentrate on hearing and chanting about Krishna and doing devotional service. So I think we're seeing that, although we don't see formal vanaprastha so much. It's just natural. Even my mother, she's 93, almost 94, even she's becoming more renounced. It just, that's the nature of having a material body. You're forced to become renounced. Saturn is in charge of old age, and Saturn just takes everything away, usually. You're attached to it, that's what Saturn takes away. You're forced to dwindle and get detached. Even my father, I remember, he became more and more detached as life goes on. So that's natural for everyone. Of course, some people are crazily attached, who have no knowledge whatsoever, who are like inimical to conception of death. Like, probably gives the example of one prime minister in India who wouldn't give up until the last moment. He wouldn't. You know, he was just in denial completely. But normal people who are not, don't have a big empire to rule over or something, and they can see it's all, they're losing everything, they don't become insanely attached to it. Yes?
Maharaj, as a devotee, how we should deal with our faith and fear?
Don't take it seriously. Of course, if you're crossing the street, you should be afraid of getting hit by a car. Not that, oh, I'm not afraid of fear anymore. I don't even bother looking both ways when I cross the street. Some fear is good. We should, you know, it's arising. But we shouldn't identify ourselves with it. We should understand it's a mechanism that can be utilized properly when it's necessary. But we shouldn't become overly absorbed in it. A little child, just like Mother Jasoda, would tell Krishna about this demon that was living in the forest. I forget the name of it. So Krishna wouldn't wander into the forest. And she would always tell Krishna when he was wandering away, when he was a little baby, you know, 2-3 years old, about watch out for this demon. So then one day, so Krishna was always afraid of this demon. And one day he went into the forest, I think, and then the demon appeared that Mother Jasoda was talking about. Of course, she just made it up because she didn't want Krishna to go alone into the forest. But then somehow or another, Krishna manifested the demon, or the demon was there. And then he ran back and said, yes, you're right, Mother. I shouldn't go into the forest. But generally, we're just concocting all kinds of anxiety. The biggest anxiety is that I'm going to die. But that's false. We're not going to die. The body's going to die. So fear is, when we see things properly, then there's no more fear. And the ultimate proper way of seeing things is to see I'm Krishna's eternal servant. If we see like that, and we utilize things in Krishna's service, then all this fear will go away. As much as we sincerely tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayana, vichatnapana avritim, jnananyaduta, kalma shaha, when one's faith, mind, intelligence, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. But we want to become cleansed of these misgivings. It's a question of absorbing our body, mind, words, and refuge, and faith in Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.